Okay, Paragimel. We're up to Paragimel, Pasuk Chaf Ches. So we've concluded yesterday with the miracle of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They were not harmed by the fire. And four of them were killed by the fire, and four of them survived. And the four that survived inspected Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and discovered that they were healthy, they were fine, they were unharmed, and their clothing were still perfect, and their hair was not burnt, and there was not even any detection, any odor of smoke or fire upon them. And they recognized the very great miracle that had occurred. And now here, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges the existence and the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Onei Nebuchadnezzar v'yamar, Nebuchadnezzar raised his voice and said, Berich Elo Kahon, the blessed is the God. So he was admitted to the miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Blessed is the God, the Shadrach, Meshach, V'Avednego, the God of these three people who were Hananiah, Mishael, V'Azariah, and they were known by the Aramaic names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Avednego. The Shalach Malachei, Hashem has sent his angel, V'Sheziv Le'Avdohi, and saved his servants. The Hisrichitzu Alohi, the Hisrichitzu is an unusual word, and it means faith. Who had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was Moiser Nefesh. If you look in, let's look in first in Zerashi here. Rashi says, Asher Botchu Olav. Rashi translates the word Hisrechitzu. Blessed is Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, who had emunah, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mitzudos David says something very similar. Asher Botchu Olav says exactly the same thing. Had faith in him, Hashem. Umilas Malkoshanif. Now this is very interesting. The Nebuchadnezzar is saying, I acknowledge that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have rebelled against. The Shanif means to change, means to rebel, to ignore, to turn away from the decree of the king. The king here being himself, Nebuchadnezzar. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah defied the king. Shaniv is to, it means to annul, to be nefer, or to turn away, let me see what the Mitzudo says. The Shanu, Shanu means to change, and Rashi does not say anything more upon this, but it means to rebel. The Havu Gesh Mehon, they gave over their bodies to die, to Misa. They were Moiser Nefesh, they were willing to give their bodies over to death. The lo yiflechun, so that they should not have to worship, the lo yiskidun, and not bow down, luchol lo, not to bow down to a god, lohein, other than leilo kahon, other than their god, other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here, this is the acknowledgement, it's a very eloquent, a very long pasuk acknowledgement, when Nebuchadnezzar says that I acknowledge the miracle, I bless Hashem, and I bless these three people, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who I acknowledge give over their lives to die. They refuse to bow down to a god other than their own god, and they had faith in Hashem, and they ignored my decree. They defied my decree. Now there is a medrash. The medrash takes note that here the way that we describe their salvation is through the word Dishalach Malachei. Hashem sent his angel. Angel being the Malach Gavril. We discussed this yesterday. Hashem had many angels in heaven that were willing to come down to this world to save Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and the angel of cold, and I'm not sure the name of the angel in charge of Borot, hail, and different cold, really wanted to come down because that would be more natural for cold to put out fire, but and the Malach of water to put out fire. But Hashem said, no, I want it to be a miracle within a miracle. I want Gavril, who is the Malach of fire, it should be him who will come and save Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. It should be a miracle within a miracle. Fire will save fire. Fire, the malach of fire will prevent the fire from touching Hananim Shel Azariah, but instead will deflect the fire upon the executioners, upon the government officials, and cause them to die in that fire they're trying to bring upon Hananim Shel Azariah. And the way we discern, so who is the malach was Gavril, the way Gavril here is described is malachay. Now if we go back in the previous psukim, when the miracle actually did occur, and Nebuchadnezzar saw what was happening, it's in Pasuk, and Pasuk Chof Hei, let's read that Pasuk again. Onevi Amar Nebuchadnezzar, he asked the people, Ho Ano Chazei Guven Arbo'o Sharyon, I see in the furnace the kiln of four men, Mahalchin Megoin Nura, Vachaval Lo Isai Behon, and they are not injured. The Revei Di Revi'o, the appearance of the fourth individual, is Domei Lebar Elokin, like the Son of God. A Bar Elokin, which refers to the Malach. And we learned Rashi yesterday that Nebuchadnezzar was familiar with the appearance of a Malach because he was present at the time of the miracle of Sancheriv, when Sancheriv attacked Yerushalayim. Rashi, according to Rashi, quotes this Medrash, he was alive, according to Rashi, 125 years ago, and he saw, more than 125 years ago, and he saw how that there were 185,000 soldiers ready to attack, to conquer Yerushalayim in the middle of the night of Pesach, they all suddenly were killed by the Malach. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the survivors. There were only a handful of survivors. He was one of them. And at that point, he saw what a Malach looks like. So he was familiar with the appearance of a Malach. So here, now, more than 125 years later, when he sees Hananiah and Shelazar being saved in the furnace by a Malach, he recognizes it's the same Malach, who has the same appearance of the Malach. And I refers to him with the word of Bar Elokin, the son in Pasuk Chof, Hey, as Bar Elokin. Now the question then is, according to the Gemedrash, why then here in Pasuk Chaf Chest, when he recalls what has happened, he says Di Shalach Malachay. So why here is he changing the reference to the Malach from a Bar Elokin to a Malach? Okay, Malach. So the answer is that there was another Malach, or there was some representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was sent to Nebuchadnezzar and gave him Musar. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar was trying to say that God has children. Like, okay, you talk about the Christians. You talk about a Bar Elokin. And therefore, the Malachim came, what are you trying to do? You're trying, in the miracle itself, you're trying to discredit HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has children? I know what you're asking me, from Bruch Shemei. So I'm coming to that. Bar Elokin, because Bar Elokin literally means the Son of God. And therefore, these angels criticized Nebuchadnezzar. How dare you try to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has children? Hashem does not have any children. Hashem is HaKol Yochol. It's not an appropriate term to refer to Hashem's Malachim. They roughed him up. And that is why here in this Pasuk Chaf Ches, he changes his description with the word that Hashem sent a malach di shalach malache. So the commentators ask on this medrash, what's so terrible? All over Chazal, we have the expression bar, and bar does not mean a son, it means a person. What's a ben Torah? Is a person who studies Torah a son of the Torah? Does the Torah give birth to human beings? Of course not. When you use the expression ben Torah, means a person who studies Torah. And in the Brich Shmei, what do we say? V'lo al bar Elohim smichna. We do not rely upon Malachim, we rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now just derech agav, one, we should be aware that there are people that do not say Brich Shmei because they find it, they don't want to have any reference to Yashka, and they want to say I don't know exactly how this that because it says of, it could be at some point in the Christians took this prayer Bruch Shmei, anything they can get their hands on, they can find some type of reference to Yashka, they jumped on and they started interpreting this prayer a Bruch Shmei of, well, as a rejection, v'lav al bar Elohim smichna, we don't rely upon Yashka. Yeah, why would we want to go and even mention that we don't rely upon Yashka when we take out the Torah? Yeah?
The Rinat Yisrael Siddur,
yeah,
in Eretz Yisrael, has Brich Shemei, and it also has Brich Shemei translated in Hebrew,
yeah,
to show you the importance of it.
Of course. The Brich Shemei comes from the Zohar, Parash Vayakel. It's a very rare, it's a very holy prayer. No. It means a malach. It means a malach, right? It means a malach. I'm just saying there are chagav that there are people that don't want to say Brich Shmei because there are those that want to interpret the prayer Brich Shmei as reference to Yashka, and he's saying that we're not relying upon Yashka, and Yashka is the Bar, is the Son of God, and that's repulsive. Now it's not that, that's not what it means. It means an angel. It means an angel. But for some reason, it became associated. It was interpreted to refer to Yashka, and they don't even want to refer to Yashka. It became repulsive. So they decided, let's already just do away with it. But of course, that's not what it means. It means an angel. So the question then is, what is wrong? What's going on here in this Medrash? The Medrash says that the reason why the pasuk changed the pasuk chafei, the pasuk chafches from the expression bar Elokim to malachei is because another group of angels came along and criticized Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, you're trying to say that Hashem has children, Hashem is Bar Elokin, so he took the Musar, and now when he described it again, he referred to the angels as a Malach. But we find all over Chazal that we refer to angels with the expression Bar Elokin, and it does not mean literally the Son of God. It means creatures that are heavenly creatures, that are spiritual creatures. So the answer is, all depends who says it. A person who is a sinner, everything he does we attribute ill will, his kavana is for ra, for evil. When a tzaddik says something, we always stand l'kaf schus. So when Chazal used the expression bar Elokin, and they're using the reference to angels, it's a davar pasha, the Chazal's intent. And then there are many expressions in Chazal. Nothing is to be taken literally. Not nothing, but many things are not to be taken literally. But when you can spin an interpretation many different ways, of course we are interpreted in the positive form. But when you're dealing with a rasha, a wicked person, then we are obligated to interpret his words always in the most negative form possible. And if Nebuchadnezzar says Bar Elokin, and there is a possible interpretation to mean literally the Son of God, which is Apikorsis, then he is held accountable. Chazal said that Kadosh Baruch Hu is b'sof b'achshav ra l'maisa by Rasha. By Rasha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, by non-Jew, Hashem punishes for kavana, for evil kavana. Only by Klal Yisrael Hashem does not punish for intent until the person actually does the aver, because kavana, a person is always judged, a tzaddik and Klal Yisrael will always judge l'kaf schus. So that's why here we do find this difference, even though generally this is not a problem to say the expression bar Elokin. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Chaf Tes. Now, after Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah was willing to risk their life in Kiddush Shem Shemayim, he issues a new edict. Umine Se'im Te'im. He feels that he has to do something in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for me, from I, Nebuchadnezzar, Sim, I now send out, I establish. A Te'im is a decree. Like we said yesterday, before, Te'im means reason. As the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? Something in an edict always has a reason. Di that, kol am umo vilishon. Three different expressions. We had this before. Any nation which has a religion, or any nation that does not have a religion, or just people that are a collection of people, all different types of collections of people throughout the world. Di yemar shiluv. Shiluv means a mistake. And in this context, it means something that is not proper. Anyone in the entire world, a deer, open up their mouth and say something insulting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anything in print, there's no freedom of print, freedom of speech here. Anyone that says something insulting about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, diyemar shiluv, al, upon, elo kahon, upon the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Vavednego, Hadomin Yisabet, this person shall be cut into pieces. He shall be tortured to death. Uvaisei Nivoli. We had this before. This was in the very beginning of Sefer Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar had his first dream about the statue. He did not know interpretation, so he told all the interpreters that if you don't provide me with the dream and its interpretation, I'm going to cut you into pieces and I'm going to destroy your homes. So here, this obviously was a very popular technique, torture. Torture, and when the Israelis did this, it seems it was very effective. They wouldn't have not done this, that Rahman al-Sanat, there was a suicide bomber, they would go and they would destroy their home. They went to their home and they knocked down, you go to their parents where he grew up, and they completely knocked down and obliterated their dwelling place wherever they lived. And that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar did. And this obviously seems a very great a technique to prevent people from doing evil. Hadamin yisabei, they will be cut into pieces, meaning they'll be tortured to death. Uvaisei nivoli, and their home will be made into a garbage dump. It will be completely destroyed. Yishtavei two words go together. Nivoli yishtavei will be made into a garbage dump. Kol kovel dy. Why am I issuing this decree that no one should dare speak evil about the God of the Jewish people? Dilo yisai elo ocharon. There is no other God. Now, we're going to learn a little bit later that Nebuchadnezzar, at this point, at least not at this point, it's not clear later how if he changed his mind, but at this point, never really came to acknowledge that there's only one God. Nebuchadnezzar, all along, you read very carefully, he's always playing with the idea that there are many gods. I have my God, you have your God, there are many gods, and it's just very interesting that in this situation, the God of the Jews is able to do something which I have not seen that my God doesn't seem to be able to do, and the gods of the other countries, the other nations of this world, also can't do. So very good, so the God of the Jews just is a mightier God. He won the boxing match, he won the debate, but it does not mean that my God is not a God. There are many gods. There are 1,000 gods. The God of the Jews was able to pull off something which other gods could not do. That's what he said.
Won any more trouble with this one?
Right. So I'll give honor. I'll give acknowledgement. I'll tell my people they should not speak evil about this. But it does not deny the fact, at least in his mind, that my God is still a very powerful God. And that's what it says here. D'lo isai elo ochoron. There is no other God. Now that has the connotation that there are other gods. It's just that there are no other gods that can pull this off, can pull off this feat. D that yikul, that can or is able, lehatzala kinda, can save in such a fashion. In other words, other gods can also do things, can save people from fire, can save, but not like this, not the type of fire that I made, a fire that was 7 times what's normal, with such intensity, and they would chain, they would tie it up. Obviously, the God of the Jewish people can do things that other gods cannot do. Lamit, Beidayin, then, at that point in time also, Malka, the king, Hatzlach, he made successful, Hifl, he caused Hananiah, Mishael, Azari to be extremely successful. Hatzlach, Lishadrach, Meshach, David Nego. In other words, he elevated them to a higher position in government. Hananiah, Mishael, Azari. Until now, they did have a high position in government, but now they were elevated even further in honor of what had happened. Hatzlach, he made successful Lishadrach, Meshach, Vavenego, Bimedinas Babel, in Medina of Babel. Now there is discussion, there is a Gemara, Mesechta Sanhedrin. Let me just see, no, we don't have it here. But this is the last mention we have of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Sefer Daniel. It's all over. Okay, we start off Perek Aleph, when the 11 years before the Churban, when the Choresh and Hamaske were taken down into Babel, and we learned about Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. We learned about all 4 of them. They were taken down, they refused to eat. Daniel was their leader to eat the non-kosher food, they only ate seeds. And we learned how they were trained, and they were healthy, and they were successful. And then we learned about this story in Perek Gimel, where they refused to bow down to the idol. And that's it, it's over. we don't hear about them ever again. What became of them? So there are different opinions in the Gemara. One opinion says that they died right away, immediately thereafter. They were saved. They were saved from this furnace. And then the next day, he made them successful. And then the next day, they died. So, I mean, what were they saved for? What?
Yeah, what's the point?
What's the point? So the point, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Hashem.
What?
I mean, they're trying to prove Kedusha Hashem.
They were Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, but Hashem wanted them for whatever reason. I'm sure you think you'll come up with an interpretation, whatever it is, but they died right. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is no, they lived, another Amori disagrees, they lived out their lives, full long lives right here in Eretz Yisrael. In Babel, they continued to live and they were successful, they were officials, and maybe you can find some veiled references to them later on in Tanakh, here and there. Another opinion was they went to Eretz Yisrael, they were afraid to remain here because the Nebuchadnezzar, even though in public, he had no choice but to acknowledge, but he was their success and the miracle, but he was envious of them. And it was not in their best. It was like, you know, the KGB. You don't want to stick around here. In public, it's nice and good, but the Nebuchadnezzar in his the underground military and his henchmen, he would take revenge for them being a disgrace to his name. He invested billions of dollars to build this massive statue, and he brought all the government officials, and he was humbled. He was greatly humbled. And he had no choice but to acknowledge the miracle. But he wasn't happy about this. And he would want to kill them. And therefore they had no choice but to flee. And indeed, they did run away. And they went to Eretz Yisrael. And they lived happily ever after in Eretz Yisrael. And at this point in time, there wasn't much doing near Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was Charav. But they were from the pioneers of rebuilding the Bayis Sheni, that Kufa, coming later on. So just I want to point out that this is, the only point I want to make now is that this is the end of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. You're not going to hear about them. You're going to hear about Daniel, but a lot more to learn about Daniel. Daniel was a very prominent figure in Megillas Esther. Daniel, there's a question if Daniel was murdered. According to one Medrash, Haman murdered Daniel in the Purim story. But there's another opinion in the Gemara that says, no, he was not murdered. He lived very, very long life all the way. Daniel lived a very, very long life all the way until Daryovish, until the son of Achashverosh. Okay, but whatever it is. But as far as the other three companions, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they come to an end right here. We don't hear anything more about them. Okay, let's go further. Nebuchadnezzar, Malka. Then, Nebuchadnezzar, he sends out letters. He sends out letters to the entire world acknowledging the miracle. It's very. These two psukim are very, very eloquent. This is a summary, a synopsis of the abstract of a long letter describing what has occurred at this point in time. So here is the synopsis, or the abstract. Nebuchadnezzar Malka, Nebuchadnezzar the king, l'chol am maya umaya v'lishonaya. These three expressions to the entire civilized world. The entire civilized world is divided into three parts. As we said before, different types of nations. Nations that have gods, nations that don't necessarily have gods, but they're organized in a sophisticated way. And then they're just nomads, people that just live. They just live in trailers here and there, and they're on programs. They don't know what's going on. They're called the Li Shonaya, Di Doi Rin B'chol Ara, that live in the entire earth. I'm sending you a letter. Shalom choin yiske. May your peace be great. He became a very, very, very generous, very gracious person. May the whole world, may there be great peace in the world. I want there to be peace. May your peace yiske. It should grow to an exalted level. And then he goes on to say, Osaya v'simhaya. two different words for wonders, signs and wonders. Some translate them os. You have os and a mofes. These pasuk lamed beis. The word osaya v'simhaya is the Aramaic equivalent of osos umofsim. When Moshe came to Paro, so it says us or l'chol. There are various pesukim in Tanakh describing the osos and the mofsim. What is an os and a mofes? So an os is something which, even a natural occurrence, a sign, something which happens, even a natural event which was unpredictable, and this serves as an omen, as proof that a prediction, a prophecy will occur. A mofes is an actual event. An actual event that is an actual event which is lamala miderech hateva that occurs. So he says osaya v'simhaya. So I guess the osaya refers to different events that Daniel predicted. It's not exactly clear what he's referring, what detail he's referring to here, but there were definitely things that were told to Nebuchadnezzar by Daniel and other maybe he had a record of what other prophets, what Yeshaya said and what the Treasar said, different things that were predicted in the past that would come true in his lifetime. Osos, U Visim Hayon, wonders that it refers specifically to the miracle of the Kivshon Oesh, the Kivshon that the miracle of Hananim Shov Azariah, Di Avadimi, which was done with me, Eloko Ilo, which God, the exalted God of the Jewish people, has done with me, Shifar Kodomai Lehachavoya. Lahachavayo, we had this in the beginning of Sefer Daniel, means to relate, to express. The Nebuchadnezzar kept on asking the interpreters, the magicians, to relate, tell to Lahachavayo, to relate the dream and its interpretation. Shafar means it's fitting, it's beautiful. Shapir, beautiful. Shofar, why a shifra, why a shapur? Pua and Shifra. Why was Miriam and Yocheved called Shifra Pua? Because Mishaperes es Havlod. She would make the child beautiful. When the baby came out of the mother's womb, she would clean the child and smear different anointments on the child to make the child beautiful. Shofar, Shemishaperes es Havlod, Shofar. So Shofar, it is beautiful, it is fitting. It's proper for me to express the osos and mofsim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shofar kodamai, it is fitting and it is honorable and it is beautiful before me, lehachavaya, to express to the world the miracles that have happened.
Like in Kariba. Ovad Gevurte Vesimhaya Shofar kodamai.
Oh, very good. Okay, so that's where it comes from. Taken right out of here. Excellent. As Osohi, then he goes on to describe in more detail. Osohi, his signs, Kimo Rav Ravin, are very great. We'll read them into this in a few moments. This Simhoi, again, the signs, the Osos and the Mofsim. Osohi, the signs, Kama Rav Ravin, are very great. This Simhoi and his wonders, Kama Sakifin, are very mighty. Malchusei, Malchus Olam, his kingdom is a kingdom forever. Vishol Tonei, and his authority is im dor vodor, with every generation. Some want to learn the difference between these two expressions of Malchus and what's the difference between Malchus and Shol Tonei. Malchus has the connotation that in melech bolayam, it means with will. The people agree, they want this particular leader to serve as their melech. There are kings that rule with will. The people are pleased. They want the person to be their melech. Then there are tyrants who rule with force. The people would prefer that this individual not serve as their leader, but he is in a position of power where he forces his power down their throats against their will. So Shaltane means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has both. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with the world such great kindness, it's unfathomable that we would not want Hashem to guide us to serve as the Melech. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKol Yachol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above and beyond anything that we that we can relate to, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rule the world even if we don't want, against our will. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power is both called the Malchus and it's called Sholtanei. He is the king of the world whether we like it or not. But of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech Tov. Hashem is Molei Chesed, Molei Rachamim, is just, it's Mishpat, it's Tzedek, Yashar, and in Eila HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules Midin Malchus. We want Hashem, we acknowledge that Hashem is deserving, is the righteous Melech. So that's what he says, Malchusei Malchus Olam V'Sholtanei Imdor V'Dor, each generation. So there are basically two, there are four different expressions here, and this one pasuk, the Osos are Ravavim, they're great, the wonders are mighty, his Malchus is forever, and his Sholtanei Imdor V'Dor. And that also takes us back with the previous pasuk, where he says his signs and wonders that he have done, that he has done with me. It's beautiful for me to relate. Now let's just see the mitzvahs, how he elaborates slightly on this pasuk Lamed Gimel. Pasuk Lamed Gimel Osori Ososov Meod Gedolim Umovsov Hatimuhim. His wonders Meod Chazakim Malchusa Malchus Olamim Umemshaltoi Im Kol Doros Ratzloimar Bezman Kol Doros throughout all generations. Okay, so this is a very simple interpretation of what this pasuk means. This was the toyface of the Igeris, Rashi says. You know, from Masechta Gittin, there's the toyref and the toyface. The toyref is the toyface, the template. It means the basic gist of what it says in the document, and then you add in the details. So these two psukim. Pasuk, well, these three psukim, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, Lamed Gimel, is the toyface, Rashi says. It is the general overview, the outline of what was written in the letter that was distributed to the entire world. Okay, so that concludes Perek Lamed Gimel. Now, there's a medrash, it's not a medrash, it's a Gemara. What?
Kol Medina Sbada.
Because the entire world, this is called Ara, the entire earth.
No, but does it make sense? It sounds more like a parallel to the Torah, where it was sent out.
Yes, it is, definitely. I mean, but that was the Persian, that was a little bit later. That was the next Malchus, but the same techniques were used. They sent out letters to the entire world. Nebuchadnezzar ruled the entire world. He ruled the entire civilized world.
Yeah.
Entire known civilized world. And he sent out letters. Everyone should be aware of the miracles that have happened, and he acknowledges HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he has done. Now let me read you the Gemara.
Like internet nowadays.
Okay. Lamed Gimel. Let me read you what it says in the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin of Tzadi Beis. Just gives a little more elaboration on what the signs and wonders are referring to. Tanu Rabbanan, b'shah shehipel Nebuchadnezzar harasha es Hananiah mishav Azariah l'tkiv shenu esh. When he threw them, he cast them to the fire. Amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu liyecheskel. At this moment in time, Michal, you mentioned this to me. Lech v'hachi meisim b'bikas dura. I want you to do tchias hameisim. So we mentioned this yesterday with six miracles that happened on this day. One of the six miracles was Yecheskel. He was Mechaye Mason. He went in that same Bika, that same valley. It's not clear if it was within sight, but in the same general location, Yecheskel, he performed an act of Tchias HaMeisim. V'hach Yemeisim in Bika Stura, Kevon Shehechye Oysan, when he told these bones to come back together, Bahu Atsamos V'tafchu Lo L'Usa Rosh Alpanav. It says in the Medrash that in the process of coming, of these bones coming back together and turning into a human being, they rolled. Again, it's the same vicinity. This took place, the Kivshan O'esh was in this Bikas Dura. And I guess a few feet away, there were some bodies, there were some Nasim, Jews, which appears to be from the time of the, if I'm not mistaken, from the Meisei Midbar. I can't be in the Midbar. Okay, I'm not sure who these Meisim were. The different Midrashim, who these Meisim were, let's put that aside for now. But they were Jews. And the bones began to bang. They came out of the earth and they began to hit Nebuchadnezzar. The bones are coming out of the ground and they're banging on Nebuchadnezzar. Omar, Nebuchadnezzar said, Mat even shell at samos elu. What are these bones? What's going on over here? Bones are coming out of the ground and they're hitting me, they're hurting me? Amulo, they told him, Chavreim shel elu shohoyo chavreim shel Hanani mishel Vazaria. These are Jewish bones. These bones are related to the three people that you just threw into the furnace. Mechayim Mason, and they're coming alive. Posach, so he, and then he saw the bones actually form into the shape of a body, and the basar, the gidin, everything came. These human beings became they came to life. So he was flabbergasted. He was nishtoimim. He witnessed firsthand Tchias HaNesed at this same point in time. So I guess, in a very simple level, the message was, you are trying to bring Misa, you're trying to throw Hananiah and Mishael Azariah into the fire. Not only will they survive, even those that are already dead will come to life. Hashem is going to the other extreme. You think that you're going to deny Hashem's existence? The reason why they refuse to bow down to you is because they acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam, and you're trying to put an end to this? I'll even take the dead and I'll bring them alive. And he witnessed Tchias HaMeisim. That's what it means here in the Pasuk, the Osos and the Mofsim. The Mofsim was not just the fact that Hananiah and Mishael Azariah survived, but it was he witnessed Tchias HaMeisim. Pasach v'Amar Osoi Kama Ravravin v'Simhoi Kama Sakifin Malchus Malchus L'Olam v'Sholtonim Im Dor V'Dor. The Shevach was primarily focused on Tchias HaMeisim. That's why there is such elaboration. That's the hidden meaning of what's going on here in these sukkim. So let's just begin a little bit the next parak. The next parak begins an entire new section. Whole new sugya. The sugya of a dream. This is a new dream. A dream of a tree. Parak Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. Beginning now a new section. I'm just going to start with a few psukim. I'm not going to go into the dream itself, but just a little bit. We're now going to begin a Nebuchadnezzar a year later. Has a dream, another dream, and it's bothering him to no end. He sees a tree with large roots, and he will describe the dream in great detail. And again, he asks all of his wise men, his magicians, his astrologers, and his people that know how to speak to the dead. All of those words that we had in Perek in the beginning of Sefer Daniel, Perek Beis, and to no avail. And who does he call to answer? To hear who has a good record? Daniel. The same way Daniel was the only one that was able to answer to explain the dream, the first dream of the statue of all the various parts. Likewise, the only one that will be able to provide an interpretation that is fitting for the Nebuchadnezzar will be Daniel. So here is the story. Ano Nebuchadnezzar. I Nebuchadnezzar shalei haves bebeisi. I was in a state of tranquility. Shalei means peace. Everything by me was fine and well. No issues whatsoever. Shalei haves bebeisi ve'ranan behechli, and I was tranquil in my abode, my hechel. Two different expressions: a bias and a hechel. Everything in my, I guess, in my private life. And in my public life, there were no scandals. I was doing very well in my malchus, extremely successful. Beis al-Khair means my private life, that's my bias. Mahechol, in the White House, everything was fine and well. And then what happened? One night I had a bad dream. A bad dream. Chelem chazes. Chelem is a dream. Chazes I saw. Vidachalinani. And I was terrified. I was terrified what I saw. V'harhorin al mishkavi. I had thoughts while I was sleeping. I could not purge the horror, the thoughts on my bed. V'chezvei reishi, the images of my head, yivahaluni, caused me terrified me, caused me to be confused and in a state of bahala. Of bahala means confusion. So basically, here I'm not familiar with the deeper meaning, but he describes his discomfort with three different expressions. I had a dream, chelem. Chelem is a dream. Vida chalinani, fear. Okay, fear is one emotion. Then you have a second expression, hear her, thoughts. And that, he just says, were upon my bed, were always there. I could not get them out of my head. Sometimes, even though something is not necessarily frightening, but it's annoying. It's annoying. It's distracting. Go away. Let me continue. I want to do something else. And you know, so we all have those that experience where you have thoughts in your mind. And you just can't get out of your head, and you can't. It prevents you from concentrating on what you need to do. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's frightening or it's causing you pain. It's just you just think about it. And then the third thing he says, another expression of the chesvei. That's different. The chesvei reishi. It's not a chelem. It's not a hearer. It's a chesvei. It's a vision. A vision. He sees things. I walk around seeing things the whole day. I see things in my mind. And these things in my head, yiva haluni, they confuse me. I'm in a state of bewilderment. Okay, so obviously there's a lot going on over here. I did not come across any thing which I really can relate to give over to explain the significant difference between these three different expressions, but obviously there's something very interesting going on over here. Umini, and therefore what did I do? I called the best doctors. For me, sim to aim, I set out to aim reason. Or to aim here means an edict. I send out an email to all of my advisors, to my staff. I sent out, for me, sim, it was sent out to aim a decree, in a request. Lehan ola kodomai, to bring, it should appear before me, lechol chakimei bavel, all of the wise men of bavel, di feshar chelmo yehodu unani, so that they can make it known to me, so that the interpretation of the dream, Yehod Unani, they should make known to me. I sent out an urgent request, please come and tell me the interpretation. What happened then? Pasuk Dal, Beidayin then, Olin Chartumaya. So who came? The whole cast of characters came. Like we had in Perig Beis. Who are the cast of characters? The Chartumim, the magicians, the Oshpaya. The Oshpaya are, I don't know, some people who communicate with the dead. I don't know what this is. Some type of hocus pocus person who knows how to figure out what's going on in the other worlds. And the Kasdoi, that we know are the astrologers. Okay, the custom, the Babylonians, this was their big thing. The Babylonians, it wasn't magic. It was the matter of a chokhmah. It was a chokhmah to look into the stars, look at the constellations, things like, and you can predict the future, you can understand how the world works by understanding the makeup of the stars at any particular point in time. The Kastoi, the astrologers from the nation of the custom, and the Gozraya, because Raya are the wise men. The Gozraya, although here he translates as the Koismen, these are the people that speak to the dead. Okay, they communicate with the dead bones. They go to the cemeteries, they lie down, and they do strange things with their elbows, and they clap, and they put bones in their throat, and they're able to communicate with the dead, and the dead will tell them what they hear going on in the other world.
Lavon Arami?
What?
Lavon Arami.
Lavan Aram, he also did, he had Trofim. The Trofim, I don't know what the Trofim are. I don't know what the difference between all these things are. These are all Koichos HaTumah. And the Chelmo Omer, now here is something very different. This is a very important point, which has a lot of great meaning. In this particular, this dream is fundamentally different than the dream of the statue, in that he knew his dream. Now, there is significance, maybe we'll come across it a little bit later, what is the significance? The first dream of the statue, he did not know. He didn't know what the dream was. That bothered him to no end. Here it was very clear to him what the dream was. He saw this tree with all its parts and its roots and all the different things that are going to happen. The tree came and was wiped away, came was crashing down, but the roots remained. And we'll see the whole story in a few moments, a little bit later in the parak. But he knew the dream. He knew it. What bothered him was the interpretation. The Chelmo Omar. Omar. I'm reading that pasuk dalet. The Chelmo Omar Ano Kodo Mehon, and I told them he's. This is a record. This pasuk is a record. So then, at that time, after I issued my urgent request, SOS, emergency, come tell me the interpretation. They all came. The whole cast of characters came into the palace, and I related to them the dream. I told them the details. The Chelmo Omar Ano Kodo Mehon, but. They did not provide me with a satisfactory interpretation. So what did I do? I had to call in the big guns. I had to go call in the general. Who's the general? Who is the master? Daniel. Obviously Daniel was overseas. He was in some mission somewhere far away, like we saw in the previous parak where Nebuchadnezzar knew that he's not going to ask Daniel to bow down to the statue. He's not looking for that kind of trouble. So here it appears that Daniel was not one from the first group of wise men that came to give the interpretation. The ad, I did not have a satisfactory interpretation until Ocharein, the last one of the interpreters came, the big bucky, the big expert, Al Kodamai. Until the last one entered, Al means to enter before me. Until the last one came, I did not have a satisfactory answer until the last. Who is the last? So here the pasuk explains and tells who the last interpreter is. Al Kodomai Daniel. Until entered before me, Daniel. Who is Daniel? Who is he? Well, we learned in Perek Aleph that his name was changed. His name was changed to Belteshazzar. Dishmei Belteshazzar. And here, over here, this pasuk explains, it does not say this in Perek Beis. Who is Belteshazzar? That's the name of my God. Kishem Eloki. Nebuchadnezzar changed Daniel's name to the name of his God. Which means we learned that Belteshazzar. Otsar. Bel means may Bel. That's name. That is the name of the god. Bel is some known as synonymous with Baal. We have in Chumash Baal and Bel. I remember seeing in Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab says that the two are the same. Bel and Baal with an ayin is the same. Maybe not, but I think it's the same. Just as you refer to the pronunciation or the way they refer to change a little bit. And Tash means to guard. Tash is an Aramaic word which means to guard. And the last three letters, Atzar, Otzer, the storage house. May Bel guard the treasure. What does a god do? Protects you. Bavel was the treasure of the world. Nebuchadnezzar felt he was the treasure of the world. May Bel guard the treasure. So that was the name of the god. Dishmei Belteshazzar, Kishem Elohi, name of my God. Vidi, here he acknowledges from the past experience with Daniel, Vidi Ruach Elokin Kadishim Bei, the spirit of the holy God, of the Ribbono Shel Olam is within him. V'chelmo Kodemohi Amreis, and I said to him, I gave over to him my dream. I told him my dream that you're going out. But one important point I want to make over here is that here he says, and Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges the contradiction. He calls him Belteshazzar, the name of my God, but I acknowledge there's another God. There's the God of the holy Jews. But there's only one God. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There's only one God. It's only one God, so how could it be that you believe in another God? That was part of his problem. That theme comes out over and over again. Nebuchadnezzar came to realize that there is a God of the Jews, but he still refused to believe that there is no other God. He believed there are many gods. It's just that the God of the Jews has certain connections. He's very good with the other gods and he's able to overcome them, but he at this point refused to acknowledge. One more pasuk, and he said, who is this person? Belteshazzar. He is Rav Chartumaya. He is the greatest of the magicians. He's describing the koyach of Daniel. He is the greatest of the magicians. That's like an insult. Like he's saying to him, oh, you're just a magician, Daniel. You have a holy spirit, but you're just a magician. He's the greatest of the Rav Chartumaya di ano yidiyes that I know. The reason why he's the greatest of the magicians, which I know, because ruach elokin kadishin bach, the spirit of the holy God is within you. The chol roz, every secret, lo ones lach, is not denied. Ones means withheld from you. And now he says to him, Daniel, here's the dream. Provide me with an interpretation. Chesve chelmi, the vision of my dream, di chazes, which I have seen, di chazes, which I have seen, this is the image of the dream which I have seen, and now, ufishrei emar, tell me the interpretation. I demand of you to tell me interpretation now that I provided you with the dream. Daniel, you're my last hope. All of my other magicians and sorcerers and you name it are unable to provide me with something satisfactory, but you are going to do so. Okay, we'll stop over here. Pasuk Zion.